Frankenstein lipsticks. And can't give you anything but my love. BBC Radio Cumbria, good afternoon to you. It's still to come. I'm going to play you the new one from Justin Timberlake, which is just Summer in a Song, if you've not heard it. It's marvellous. It's my song of 2016 so far. It's fantastic. So that's still to come. And don't forget the time tunnel, of course, just after 4 o'clock. We're heading to 1965. Now, though, absolutely delighted to welcome in the studio this afternoon's special guests. We've got local author Julie Sandilands and her beautiful dog, Ollie. Hello to you both.
Hello, Caroline. Thank you for having me.
Great to see you, Julie. How are you? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you.
And how's wee Ollie?
Wee Ollie, he's suffering a little bit. He's got a bit of a poly ear, so we need to go to see the vet later.
You're going to go see the VET?
Yes, the VET.
Okay. Oh, well, get well soon.
Thank you.
He's got a sore ear. Ollie is here. He's very quiet. He's not a barker, is he? So he's not a Sue Barker. So he's just lying on the floor, just peacefully chilling out. But I assure you he's here, chilling out next to Julie's feet. What breed is Ollie?
Ollie is his dad is a deer hound, and his mum is a white standard poodle.
My word!
It was an accident, I'm told. He wasn't supposed to be a designer dog. It was the poodle decided to take a walk into the barn where the deer hounds were. So, and 7 jet black puppies were born.
Right, okay, so she walked into the barn, a bit of Barry White was playing, and naturally things happened.
Yes.
Right, well, you know what? Some of the best things are accidents, aren't they? This is marvellous.
He's beautiful.
He is absolutely gorgeous. And being part poodle, he'll be highly intelligent.
He should be.
But he came bounding into the... He's very quiet. He came bounding into the studio earlier. I'm going to have to cuddle him before you go, but he's lovely. How old is he?
He's 5 and a half.
God, okay, dog years. So what's that in human years?
Oh, about 37, 40 years.
Good age. Prime.
Good age.
Good age. Well, we're going to talk about Ollie's TV fame in just a moment, but first and foremost, Julie, you are an author. Well, tell us a bit about yourself. You've got a really interesting life. You're kind of based up in Scotland, but here in Appleby as well.
I split my time between the two. I decided when I was writing A Gypsy's Tale, which is the second book in the tale series, about a gypsy family, a young gypsy boy, Ryan, who had to leave North Yorkshire, and I was trying to find somewhere for the family to go, and I decided where better than Appleby? Traditional horse fair, it's somewhere where they would gravitate back to and perhaps feel a little bit safer, and it soon became apparent that I needed to be spending time in Appleby, and I started visiting and getting to know local places. So to actually put in the book, so you'll find Borrigate in there, you'll find Banley Bridge in there, you'll find the Royal Oak in there, you'll find lots of different places in Appleby actually in the story as well, to give it a little bit more appeal to people that live there, as well as people that don't know the area, and I hope that they might want to visit it too.
Love that, Julie. So as you say, this is the tale series of books. You've got them there. We've got Finn's Tale, A Gypsy's Tale, just mentioned, and Tinkers, Trolls and Troublemakers. Marvellous titles. And now, you've written these. Who are they sort of aimed at?
Primarily, I think I was writing for children. And then I felt that the stories... because I've brought in not just a children's ideas, but I've brought in different aspects, like we've got some Norse mythology in there, we've got Cumbrian folklore, we've got local traditions, we've got a contrast between the travelling Irish community and perhaps a more slightly laid-back Cumbrian cultures and traditions. I thought it had a wider appeal. And I'm also hoping that it's the sort of books that will perhaps bring children and their parents and aunties and uncles and big brothers and big sisters together into reading, and therefore encouraging children to read books, not just on their own, but to have it as a nice activity, a family activity.
That's so important, Julie. I'm with you on that. I mean, yeah, I used to read with my parents when I was young, and it's a lasting memory, isn't it?
It is a lasting memory, and not only a memory for me, but an inspiration, because a lot of the reading that I did with my parents, and we sat as a family and read, were the fairy tales. And, you know, I still think now the way the word Rumpelstiltskin, it was an amazing name, an amazing word, an amazing story. And it was the slight darkness of the fairy tales, but the intrigue that really got my imagination going. And I think we weren't perhaps as distracted then, and that we relied on our imaginations a lot more, but it got me into writing.
Interesting. So those were fables, as you say, sort of based off. That's really interesting. I like Hans Christian Andersen, and so many of his quite dark, you know, Little Mermaid. And I think, we spoke about this a bit off air, when I was young, certainly, I think a lot of youngsters and young adults are fascinated by something a little more dark, a little more out of this world, otherworldly.
Yes, they are. And I think if you can bring that in, and what I've tried to do, especially in A Gypsy's Tale and Tinker's Trolls and Troublemakers, is I've tried to actually get the imagination racing, but actually take people to a place where fantasy and reality might just merge into one, but in a natural way as well.
Yeah.
So that both aspects complement the story.
Love that, Julie. Can I see A Gypsy's Tale? Because the illustration on the front is pretty fun. We've got kind of like a wolf gargoyle.
It looks a bit like Ollie, doesn't it?
It looks a bit like Ollie. Has your dog inspired you? I can see that. Like it's quite dark. The trees, there's the ominous looking moon, and there's this wolf with red eyes, bat wings spring out of it. That looks fab. I'd have loved that when I was younger. Tell me, please, pray tell me, what are Hobbs and Boggles?
Well, if you turn that book over, you'll see a nasty-looking gentleman there with his bullwhip next to that dog. Now, that's a Boggle. Now, that's the Boggle of Wicked Willie. And Wicked Willie's got a bit of a story in Appleby. He was, a long time ago, he was a gamekeeper. And he wasn't particularly very nice man. He was a bit grumpy, and the rest of the farm estate, the Appleby man estate, didn't like him. So they actually told on him that he was stealing peacocks. And he was sentenced to hang like you did in those days if you stole any livestock or the peacocks from the manor house. And he went to the gallows cursing Appleby town and saying that he would come back and haunt them and do as much damage as he could. So that is what he did. He came back. And a boggle in Cumbrian folklore is a spirit, a restless spirit who will not go to heaven and who is intent on causing mayhem and getting revenge on the people that he thinks has harmed it. So that's a boggle in there. And also we've got Hobbs, and they brought the Hobbs into the Tinker's Trolls and Troublemakers. And as Ryan, one of the characters in here, he and Hawkeye are having a conversation. Hawkeye is a gentleman from Appleby who you'll meet in A Gypsy's Tale, along with the little gypsy boy Ryan. And they meet a hob. They meet a hob when they're stuck in a cave down in Dufftin Gill. And Ryan says, what's a hob? And Hawkeye says, well, the Scots, they have the brownies. The Irish, they have the leprechauns. And here in Cumbria, we have hobs. And they're just small people, very, very, go back, so that you don't see them or hear them, but they come out at night time and they get all the household chores done. And basically do anything that needs doing, and all they ask in return is bed and board.
Nice. B&B. This is marvellous. Have you always been this creative, Julie? Have you always had a mind that's maybe a little different to other people's?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Like, but that. I think what helped us, again, is actually living in the Fellside village of Dufftin, which is right on the Pennine Way, and having Ollie here, getting out and being totally inspired by the amazing setting, because you could be anywhere. Whether it's raining or it's sunshine, you could be anywhere in the world when you're up on those hills, and you know that there's history, and you know that there's stories there that need telling.
Love it. Absolutely. I should have asked you to prepare an excerpt. Do you reckon you'd be able to find a paragraph or something to read?
Yes.
But yes, whilst you're doing that, I've got to ask you about this. You have had some TV fame, Julie, you and Ollie. You appeared on the telly along with Thinking Man's crumpet, Julia Bradbury.
I did, yes. That was a fantastic experience as well. And it was the walking programme, which highlights the best of the United Kingdom. And of course, they were doing the path up to High Cup Nick. And High Cup Nick features quite prominently in Tinker's Trolls and Troublemakers. And they asked me to talk about my walks up to High Cup Nick, and how that inspired me to write the books.
Brilliant. So you have TV fame, and they were just obsessed with the dog, weren't they, Ollie?
They were. Ollie Dog did very well out of that. And we have to say, actually, that now the Outdoor Guide is a one-stop shop for anyone that loves the outdoors, whether it's a Sunday stroll or a robust walking holiday. You can go on and plan your route and look at pit stops, campsites, but you can also buy gear, gadgets for camping, but you also have the Tog Shop, and there you can buy books, whether it's to do with walking or whether it's to do with people that are associated with the programme. And that's where I've got the books are available there as signed copy books with personal messages as well. So if you've got a birthday or a Christmas present coming up, Christmas, thinking of those, and obviously those are, you can ask for personalised messages to be put in the books.
Brilliant. Well, I think, you know, as you say, kids and young adults will love this, and, you know, as you say, it's about reading together with your family, with your parents. But yeah, you were on Best Walks with a View back in March with Julia Bradbury. That's just awesome. And as a result of all his appearance, I believe he's in talks to be the new James Bond, which is great.
He's thinking about it.
He's not sure, you know.
He's shaking, he's not stirred.
Yeah, yeah, the right price, maybe. Have you found a little excerpt?
I have. I'm going to read a little excerpt from A Gypsy's Tale.
Brilliant.
And it's where Ryan and his annoying little brother Timmy are let out of the bow top by their mother, and they go over to Appleby Castle. And it's the first inkling that Ryan has that something untoward is happening. The next morning, Ryan and Timmy were ushered out of the caravan by their mother, eager to start her daily chores. Both boys were wrapped up well with warm jackets, hats and scarves. They set off across the meadow towards a patch of dense woodland. Archie, the terrier, was running in circles at their feet. As they walked, Ryan pondered on the events from the night before. "Come on, slow coach," shouted Timmy as he skipped ahead. "What's gotten you this morning? Why are you so slow?" They walked through the trees, stumbling at times in the rough undergrowth. Timmy was using a stick to beat anything that obstructed his path. As he swung his weapon, he made a loud, high-pitched whoops to show his satisfaction at defeating his foe. Ryan followed, but rather than joining in Timmy's game, kept his focus on the surrounding trees, listening for any unusual noises. The autumn weather was unpredictable, and after lengthy spells of sunshine came rain and showers, some hard enough to send them running for cover under any tree which still had leaves on its branches. Timmy's pockets bulged with acorns, conkers and anything else he could fit in. "What are you going to do with them, eh?" asked Ryan. "We're going to have a fire. That's what we're going to do with them. We're going to have a fire." A heavy shower sent the boys running for cover. They made their way through the trees, over a shallow stream, and then scrambled up a grassy mound. In front of them, a low stone wall came into view. The wall of Appleby Castle. "Here, over here," shouted Ryan, jumping over the wall. Once over the walls, the old castle stood just in front of them. The boys had visited this castle often during their annual visits to the town. Before, though, they had been in the company of several other gypsy children. In the summer sunshine, the castle ruins had been an exciting place to explore. Today, in the weak watery sun and dark shadows, it did not seem so appealing. "Let's go in," squealed Timmy, oblivious to his brother's hesitation. Before Ryan could reply, Timmy had squeezed through the narrow ledge and disappeared inside the castle. Ryan had no choice but to follow. He left Archie sitting by the wall and instructed him to stay. The dog cocked his head, wagged his short tail, and watched his master disappear from view. The ledge was narrow and his elbows scraped along the stone as he pushed himself through. Ryan felt the material on the arm of his coat tear as he lowered himself to the ground. He fumbled in his pockets for his torch and shone the beam into the semi-darkness, whispering, "Timmy, Timmy, where are you?" No reply and no sound. "Stop looking about, Timmy. It ain't funny." Ryan's voice echoed the frustration he now felt at being somewhere he really didn't want to be. "I'm going to flatten him," muttered Ryan under his breath as he stepped over the rubble and into the next hall. The air smelt musty and damp. The sound of water dripping onto the stone floor seemed to get louder with each drip. Ryan stood still, shining his torch into every crevice, when he heard the sound of muffled breathing, as if someone or something was trying hard not to give away its position. His frustration turned to nervousness as he realised they were not alone. "Probably Timmy," thought Ryan, trying to calm his nerves. Timmy's shrill whistle broke through his thoughts. He spun around on the spot to see Timmy outside the castle, peering through the narrow ledge they had climbed through not 5 minutes before. Ryan quickly made his way back to the shaft of light, not daring to look behind him. He sprung forwards and upwards into the opening. His progress was abruptly halted as what felt like an icy hand locked tightly around his ankle, pulling him back into the abyss. Ryan kicked out with his other foot, hoping to strike whoever or whatever was holding him fast. His foot flailed wildly in the air, unable to make contact with anything. Desperate to escape, he locked his elbows on each side of a ledge and with one final heave, pushed himself into the daylight. The icy hand released its grip immediately, allowing Ryan to fall headfirst onto the wet grass.
Oh. Thank you so much for story time, Julie. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
An excerpt there from A Gypsy's Tale, one of three books that Julie's written from the Tales series. And they kind of work as a trilogy as well, don't they? But standalone as well.
They do, yeah. They take the characters and they sort of have them going through separate adventures and bringing them back together as three reluctant adventurers, but very unique personalities. And without each other, they wouldn't survive the double-crossing Norwegian troll that they have to fight.
Not one of those double-crossing Norwegian trolls. Yes. Oh, no.
He's not a big daft troll, this one. He's a clever, calculating Norwegian troll.
Love it. Absolutely love it. You know, as you say, trolls and things, it just reminded me of my childhood, and that's wonderful. Julie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Ollie, one of the most best-behaved dogs I've ever had on the show. And I've had many dogs on the show. We welcome. We're very dog-friendly here at BBC Radio Cumbria. Julie, just remind us where people can get a hold of these. If this sounds like something your kids or grandkids would love. You mentioned the Outdoor Guide, Julia Bradbury's site.
Yeah, those are for your personalised copies. You can also buy them from the usual online retailer, which everybody clicks on, for books and other things. And also, if you are holidaying in Cumbria, or even if you live in Cumbria and you're around the Appleby area, please take a visit up to the High Cupnick Wines, the winery, and that's just outside Dufton. And you can buy signed copies there. And at the same time, you can have a look at the art exhibition. There's some wine tasting if you would like to tempt yourself with some of the fruit wines. And also there's coffee and cake, so you can sit on the sofa and read your books.
Loving the sound of that. Julie Sandilands, thank you so much. Thank you, Ollie. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure too.